Well, you made it just in time. For another Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things, it's a review of what we got done on our successful morning show.
Perfect, thank you.
You can hear us weekday mornings at 93.9 FM, Planet 93.9, or online at planet939.com or on your Alexa. Lots of different ways to listen to the show. This might be the very best way because this is all the very best bits condensed down for you to consume and enjoy. It's the Top 5 Things podcast, and we begin with
number one.
Number one.
Number one.
They've done a study here, crunching the numbers on who has the fastest and slowest drive-thrus.
Mm-hmm.
And what really blows me away is average drive-thru wait time, but also accuracy. Like how much or how often, I should say, they get your order correct or incorrect.
Uh-huh. And if they'll give you ketchup 2 seconds after you ask for it.
Chick-fil-A is dead last in terms of drive-through time. It has the slowest drive-throughs in America. This is according to QSR, which is a restaurant magazine that looks into this sort of stuff. They looked at the top 10 fast food chains in the nation, and Chick-fil-A has the slowest drive-through lines. But it's got the highest marks in terms of drive-through customer satisfaction. Because
all my drive-throughs are about the same.
Yeah?
Because I won't go to one that's packed.
Right. They say...
I'm skipping you. If there's more than a couple cars ahead of me, mm-hmm. I'm not going.
Right. It's not worth it. They say if the list were arranged in order of the fastest average based on the number of cars... Then Chick-fil-A comes in with the lowest amount of wait time. Dig? So it's like, yeah, it's taking forever, but there's so many cars. If you were to do an average, then it's actually pretty good. But that average doesn't help me. They say the average wait time at a drive-thru for Chick-fil-A is 8.5 minutes.
That seems like a lot.
Sure does. The lowest would be KFC. 5 minutes and 2 seconds.
Yeah, you don't see long lines at KFC for the drive-thru.
You don't. But they both do chicken. It's interesting how one chicken place can get you out of there in 5 minutes and 2 seconds, and the other is 8 minutes and 28 seconds.
Well, yeah, but you've got one that's not serving any chicken that has bones in it.
The study also looked at accuracy. And of the top 10 fast food places, Wendy's is last.
Really?
21% of the orders are inaccurate.
Huh.
21% of orders are inaccurate. McDonald's and Arby's are the highest with 89% accuracy. Okay. They're still making a mistake at the drive-thru window, 1 out of every 10 orders.
Yeah, this sounds,
and that gets you a blue ribbon in this competition.
This sounds like the old toothpaste commercial where it was like, only one cavity. One? Only one? How many teeth do you think you have? I mean, if you're going to be going to the dentist twice a year and you're thrilled with only one cavity.
The study was based on 1,500 drive-thru orders of the top chains across the United States. Chick-fil-A, Wendy's, Burger King, Dunkin' Donuts, McDonald's, Arby's, Hardee's, Taco Bell, and KFC.
Well, the fun thing about the Taco Bell is if they do make a mistake,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to taste the difference.
McDonald's and Arby's were most likely to execute a correct order, 89% accuracy. Wendy's strikes out in two different categories. They come in last, 21% of orders were inaccurate, and they're also dead last here on the list of drive-thru satisfaction. Even though they're getting you out of line faster than the people at Chick-fil-A. People are not happy with their experience at the drive-thru at the Wendy's, apparently. How could they? One in five orders, you've got something wrong? That can't be.
I'm not that strong an order taker.
things go wrong. Things go wrong.
I don't have the best short-term memory.
I really shouldn't be at the window.
I should be somewhere else.
I have a list here of...
Couldn't I just make the chili? I'm pretty confident I can stir the chili.
It is no picnic to work at the drive-thru window.
I don't imagine.
I have here things that people have seen
although
working at the drive-thru window.
But having said that...
That will shock you.
Having said that, though, yes. You go through some drive-thru windows, and you'll have somebody... Usually it's the person that's not giving you the food. It's the person who's taking your order. Uh-huh. They kind of do that at McDonald's a lot.
Uh-huh.
Some of those people get really hunkered down in that situation. You know? Certain time of the year or whatever, it's like, yeah, I'm here for the duration. I've got my troll dolls. I've got a heat lamp.
This is my office.
I am tucked in here. It's almost like they're like a toll booth worker.
Tim Hortons is a donut chain up in Canada, and you'll find them in some states that are close to Canada. They're in like New York, a handful of them.
Uh-huh.
This is somebody that works at a Tim Hortons. They say, I had a guy come through Tim Hortons in the morning, go to give him his coffee, and he asks me to wait a second. Grabs the beer from his cup holder and chugs the rest of it, then throws it out the open passenger window.
Hits it.
Takes the coffee from my hand, says thank you, and drives away.
Hits it. Yeah, I wouldn't.
Good morning.
That's something I would not want to. I wouldn't want to have to handle coffee.
No.
Because we all know why.
I work at McDonald's. We had a regular drive-thru customer who was odd. Had a huge beard and was always wearing a Hawaiian button-up shirt.
Hey, that's hurtful.
And always had a fake skeleton wearing a hat in his passenger seat.
Uh-huh.
I still, to this day, have no idea as to why.
Well, probably wanted to use the carpool lane.
Here's one. This is a place that apparently had slices of pizza at their drive-thru window. Guy nonchalantly ordered a slice of cheese pizza while his hands were covered in blood a few days ago. He didn't acknowledge it at all. I gave him some extra napkins. I was working drive-thru at Hardee's as my first job. It's about 10 o'clock at night on a Friday, and someone comes through the drive-thru. They order a strawberry malt. As part of my scripting, I ask if they'd like to add 2 apple turnovers for 99 cents.
Uh-huh.
They gleefully agree.
Okay.
Cool.
I just upsold them.
Cool. Your total is 314. Pull to the next window. They didn't. They were laughing and there was a lot of noise. The noise continued and there was more laughing. Tentatively, I poked my head out the window and saw 6 high school kids carrying a sofa. They had hauled the sofa to the window and asked me to dump the milkshake all over the sofa. Whatever, they paid for it.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it. When I gave them the pies, they proceeded to smash them and smear them all over the sofa. They then carried the sofa away to the parking lot, loaded it onto a truck, and drove away.
Okay.
A friend of mine worked at an ice cream place. This one says, the woman ordered 5 ice cream cones. When she pulled around, she saw that the woman had 4 dolls buckled into the back seat. Ordered 5 ice cream cones. It's her and 4 dolls. Does she feed the ice cream to the dolls, or is she just going to eat all 5 of them?
She eventually, she pretends, but she eventually gets around to all of them.
I work at an Arby's in Indiana, and about a year ago, a woman came through with a pet monkey in a diaper on a leash. I'm guessing the monkey, not the woman. She handed me her money and acted like everything was normal. When I went to hand her the change, the monkey jumped in the window, took the change, and hopped back. That would be weird. Working at McDonald's, I've had a regular customer who drives through just about every day, twice a day, and he's always shaving his face with an electric razor every single time.
They don't work very well.
Wait a minute. So twice a day you're going to McDonald's and twice a day you're just shaving your face?
Again, it doesn't work as well as a blade.
We had a guy. It says here we had a guy with a cross tattoo come through our McDonald's drive-thru. And one of my coworkers asked him about the tattoo. And he casually offered, "Oh, I'm Jesus Christ. I've come to judge the world, turn water into wine, and bring the dead back to life." He was fully serious. Here's a girl and her boyfriend come through the drive-thru window, get their food, and take off. Next car pulls up, and it's just a guy bawling his eyes out.
Uh-huh.
Turns out the girl in the car ahead of him was his girlfriend, and she was cheating on him with the
other guy. Oh, no. That's quite a coincidence. And he notices it, huh?
Oh,
They just happen to be in the same drive-thru? Oh,
wait a minute. That's my girlfriend.
That's my girlfriend.
With another guy.
Who's better looking than me.
Oh, no. It seems more adept at ordering food.
Andy, they're getting a big order.
Never cry over a horse. Never!
Oh, this is the worst.
I only let her order from the value menu.
He told her she could get whatever she wants. Wanted.
I heard that.
How do you compete with that? Last one. My first real job in high school was at a very loosely managed Taco Bell.
Okay.
I love that idea.
Yeah, that's loosely managed.
You don't like to hear loosely, very loosely managed before you hear the name of the restaurant. My first real job in high school was at a very loosely managed Taco Bell where one of the supervisors had been fired recently. While I was working the overnight shift, he came through the drive-thru.
Oh, I'm back.
Pointed a gun at me.
Oh, my God.
And robbed me for all of my cinnamon twists.
Give me all the cinnamon twists.
He took the whole pan of cinnamon twists, drove through his car right through his car window. We had to cook a new batch, and nobody wanted to call the cops.
Yeah.
The night shift is weird.
We're not going to report this.
Okay, I do have one last one. This is at like a Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
I handed a 50-year-old guy, his ice cream cone. And when he took it, he asked me with a straight face, "Do you believe in unicorns?" I was taken by surprise at his question.
Mm-hmm.
But before I could answer, he slammed the ice cream cone on his forehead and just drove off.
Yeah, that is somebody...
Yeah, even to a guy like me, that's cold.
That's great.
That is great.
I kind of want to do that.
That is, you know what? Oh boy, that is someone who has snapped.
And just ask the question with a straight face, yeah, and then drive off normally.
With it stuck to your head.
Do you believe in unicorns?
Uh-huh.
I don't even know how to answer that. Don't.
Yeah, that is... That is someone who is...
Uh-huh. It's not going to be the weirdest thing they do that day.
No, that's just the beginning.
That's chapter one.
Yeah.
Two. I see Augie won this week like 70 to nothing.
70 to nothing.
Wow.
Take that, Soy City. Yeah, beat up Milliken.
Soy City?
Yeah, that's Decatur.
Okay.
Milliken's in Decatur.
All right. Well, that's great.
Yeah, that...
Did you go to that one?
No.
Oh, yeah, that was a road game, I guess.
It's a road game.
Oh, they did that in Decatur?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you and Kenny Anderson weren't enjoying a couple of Keystone Lights during the game?
We weren't popping beers together, no.
You don't get together for, like, road games? Just kind of hang out in the parking lot?
I have. I was actually with Kenny in Cincinnati one time. That was a road game.
Oh, cool.
Which, you know, was a perfect storm for him.
I want to say that my Duhawks won their homecoming game 65 to nothing, which... Instant Pret's another first down.
Yeah.
That's another certainly Duhawk impressive.
First down.
That's right. Duhawks beat up on the Buena Vista Beavers for homecoming this weekend.
That's a good name.
It really, you can't argue with that one.
No.
Yeah. The North Dakota State College of Science. Those are the Wildcats.
Okay.
They're in the news because of a guy who plays for their team, Ray Rushel.
Okay.
He's 49 years old.
Uh-huh. He had some eligibility left, huh?
Apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently, Grandpa likes to play Powerball and...
and a little college football. A
little college football in North Dakota State College of Science. Never played football before. Was scared half to death. Yeah, this 49-year-old Ray Rushel plays football for this junior college, North Dakota State College of Science. Uh-huh. They lost a game in early September, foiled at the goal line as time expired. They were hoping to win the national championship this
year.
But they lost, and this backup defensive lineman had to step up and give the kids a pep talk.
Okay, so he doesn't get in the game much, but he's wearing the uniform.
Right.
And he's got something inspirational to say.
He spent...
Thank you, Jason Hayward.
...nearly two decades in the Army and National Guard. Rushel was working as a night shift mechanic at a North Dakota sugar beet factory when he decided to enroll at the College of Science.
Okay.
The school offers two-year programs in manufacturing, skilled trades, healthcare, and the liberal arts. And during this loss in early September... He was the one who said, hey, come on, everybody. Turn the frowns upside down. Marcelio Mendez is a wide receiver. And after they lost to their hated rival, Minnesota State College Community Technical, he says there were just kind of emotions everywhere. Everyone did not handle it. And Ray came up and said, you know, it's not really failing. He said, we just have to put the emotion aside. And we still got the rest of the season and playoffs to show who we are. Wouldn't a coach give that talk? Or this guy's probably older than the coach.
Oh, yeah. Quite a bit. His father.
Rushel was hoping to move up at the sugar beet factory and decided to study business management. He then learned that the school had a football team among its six sports. And despite his age... He was eligible.
Mm-hmm.
He says, something just clicked in my head, like, why not play? His last action came when he was a high school senior in Pennsylvania, and that was, of course, more than 30 years ago. When Rushel asked the head coach of the program, Eric Eisendorf, who is, in fact, a year younger than he is, for a tryout, Eisendorf said, sure, but he was worried that Rushel would get hurt.
Killed.
Instead.
Not hurt, killed.
He's held his own and earned the respect of the other players and sees about a dozen snaps a game. Coach saying guys that he's playing against are bigger.
Means that he pays attention to 12 plays during the game from the sideline.
He's bigger, faster, and stronger than he is, but he's been able to manage it. His personality is just a really likable guy with an ambition not to leave any stone unturned as long as he's here on Earth. Which
will be forever.
I don't know.
You don't get to leave Earth.
I'm in.
Sorry.
Wahpeton is a mostly industrial town of about 7,800, and it's home to the Mindac Farmers Cooperative, one of the largest sugar beet producers in North Dakota and Minnesota.
Hmm. Sugar beets.
That's where Rushel works the overnight shift, and then he fits in a couple hours at the gym after he gets off at 8 in the morning. After a few hours of schoolwork online at his apartment near campus, Rushel grabs some rest before afternoon practice, which will go until about 7 o'clock. Then he's back to his apartment where he showers, grabs a quick bite to eat, and then he'll lie down for whatever rest he can get before it all begins again with his overnight shift.
Oh, my God.
How does he pull off such a grueling schedule? He says, that's a good question.
The sugar beets.
I owe it all to these sugar beets.
It's the sugar beets. It's all I eat.
Rushel is a single father of two grown children. He says, it's because I choose to prioritize certain things, and other things have to be sacrificed. They just have to be sacrificed right now. The college campus is home to about 3,000 students. anchored by its historic Old Main that dates back to 1903, a recruiting brochure boasts a 97% employment rate for its graduates.
Some things have to be sacrificed, like sleep. I'm dangerously tired.
I'm 49 years old, and I haven't slept since July because I wanted to play junior college football.
And this could go badly.
They say the facilities are among the best in college, junior college football, including a 4,100-seat stadium, four different practice fields, and a locker room with 90 modern stalls. Wildcats went 9-1 last season, second best in school history, and they finished number 4 in the Division III junior college rankings. After a 37-6 win over Vermilion Community College, a six-hour bus ride to far northeastern Minnesota, and a homecoming win last week, and they're now 4-1.
It's not bad.
In a season they hope they can end with a national championship. Players say Russell fits in with his teammates despite the obvious musical and cultural differences that come with such a big age gap. Do you kids like Janis Joplin and Big Brother and the Holding Company?
What's your take on Jolson? Well, your Aaron Rodgers was community college, junior college quarterback.
Was he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, that's where he saw him pouting on the sidelines over there in England the other day. Yesterday, I guess. Because the game was already over by the time any of the noon games were going to start.
That's true.
Here he is looking for someone to blame.
He says the players will come up to me and ask me what I'm listening to. I tell them country music, and that'll be the end of that. Yeah, we don't want to hear any more about this, Ray.
I just stare at him when they ask me that question because I'm so damn tired.
5 games into the season, the 6-foot, 225-pound Russell is a workout buff. He says he feels no pain on the field. All in all, he says, I'm no more sore than the rest of these kids. I've just got to keep stretching. I gotta stretch, guys. It's so important that I stretch. Otherwise,
I could just catch a couple winks.
Going back to my apartment for a quick bite to eat.
I mean,
maybe a half hour.
Sure, these sugar beets keep me awake, but dangerously so. It still doesn't replace REM sleep.
Doctor says on account of the sugar beets, I've got a resting heart rate of 412.
That doesn't sound like resting.
I just pull him right out of the ground.
That's a hummingbird.
You know how I sleep every night? I go to my apartment, I get a quick bite to eat, and then to block out the noise, I'll put 2 sugar beets in my ears. Just make the world go away.
I get them for free. I use them everywhere. I use them for everything. Doorstops, paperweights.
Well, I got a couch at home I made out of sugar beets.
Couch. My bed is made out of sugar beets.
Sometimes I'll take a nap on the couch and wake up just gnawing on an end table.
At work, they say, take all you want.
You can't take enough.
You can't take enough is what they say.
Russ, if you could do us a favor and help us get rid of these sugar beets, for crying out loud. We can't use them. Sugar beets are grown in 11 states and represent 55% of U.S. sugar production. Now, sugar cane, of course, that's the other 45%. So we get more sugar from sugar beets than we do sugar cane in these United States. I had no idea. Well, Ray, best of luck to you. Love to see the Wildcats win the national championship.
I would say, keep your head on a swivel, though, please.
Number 3.
3.
Pointed out a story that you saw on Channel 8 about a time capsule that they opened up.
In Erie, it looks like.
This was Erie Elementary School. As part of its sesquicentennial celebration, Erie opened up a time capsule that included letters that the kids had written back in 2002.
Way back when, huh?
20 years ago.
Huh.
They open up the time capsule to see what these kids thought.
My guess is that the paper is still in pretty good shape.
The paper looks like it's in excellent shape. So these kids were 9 when they wrote these letters, and now they're about to turn 30.
Yeah.
Time capsule was buried on September 7th in 2002 to be opened 20 years later for Erie's sesquicentennial celebration.
Okay.
I'm reading here. Shannon James was one of the kids that wrote a letter. She was in third grade when she wrote hers. In 2022, her plans were she was going to be a singer, and she would have met Michael Jordan. She also wanted to drive a silver Jeep with flames and have a boyfriend who drove a Harley.
He was my boyfriend.
She says, I don't come from a home motorcycle Harley family. I have no idea, and I wasn't into sports. I don't know why I would have wanted to meet Michael Jordan. I have no idea. I guess I just had big goals for the future. She says she overachieved on that whole boyfriend goal because she's married with 2 kids and drives a minivan.
That's marvelous.
Maybe she says she can convince her husband to paint some flames on the side.
Yeah.
She's mostly a stay-at-home mom who works for Erie's ambulance department.
Gotcha.
Uh-huh. Here's one. Caitlin McConnell wrote her letter when she was in second grade.
Yeah.
She predicted that she'd be a teacher.
And?
She teaches at Erie Middle School.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, she says, I love working with the students. I love having conversations.
She applied for the job shortly after she wrote the letter.
Kobe Kunin wanted to play for the Bears.
Yeah.
20 years later, he's a project manager at a construction company.
All right.
He says here...
He probably could play for the Bears.
He says it probably helped them out if I was playing for them right now. Seth Ryan's prediction was, in the year 2022, he'd be 29 years old.
And
that checks out.
And he nailed it.
He's 29 years old. He also predicted he'd be working at the Old Country Buffet, making $500 a week.
Hmm.
He says, I mean, what child could resist that? The chocolate milk was like no other. He does stay busy. It says you're doing several jobs, car salesman, volunteer EMT, and a bartender. Dylan DeShane's prediction, a little more far-fetched. Dylan wanted to be a snake catcher in South America and a pro wrestler.
Gotcha.
He says, I don't live in South America. But as far as wrestling, I did wrestling in college. So I did get kind of close there. And I coach now.
And there are still snakes. Snakes still exist 20 years later.
As a fourth grader, Mariah Rudnicki predicted in the year 2022, there'd be flying cars. She also said in a letter she didn't want side pocket folders to exist anymore. Tell you what, if 20 years from now we still have these side pocket folders, I'm going out of my mind.
I'm
going
to lose it.
I can't.
I'll snap.
I can't even with this. Time capsules tend to be, this is a cute story. I mean, and when you bury something with the idea of opening it up 20 years later for the sesquicentennial, I mean, it's underwhelming, but I think kind of by design, right? More often than not, 99% of the time capsules are not very interesting.
No, they're not.
The idea of a time capsule really became famous in 1939 with the burial of something called the Westinghouse time capsule at the World's Fair. That was buried in 1939. It's not scheduled to be open until the year 6939, dudes.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we did one when I was in kindergarten.
A time capsule?
Yeah, I think so.
Did they ever uncover it?
I don't think they ever did. I mean, that would be over 50 years.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of times, I'm reading here...
I think they just forgot about it.
I'm reading here an article in the Long Beach Post News by Tim Grobatty. Column, digging up the most boring time capsule in history. The year 1972, like most years, wasn't without interest. I know. I was there when it happened as a senior in high school.
Uh-huh.
You had the Godfather premiere. Yeah. You had Nixon trouncing McGovern. Yeah. You had the arcade release of the Pong video game. You had Apollo 17, the last man mission to the moon. You had the Munich massacre at the Olympics and the troubles in Northern Ireland, not to mention all the outdated gadgets that are now long gone,
yeah,
many of which have been made obsolete by today's iPhone as opposed to a 50-year-old rotary phone that couldn't even help you navigate traffic. A small crowd attended a Monday afternoon opening of a time capsule buried downtown in 1972, and it was largely filled with people who were alive 50 years ago when the time capsule was buried in honor of the dedication of the Ocean Gate Tower and Plaza. As time capsules go, this one was horribly disappointing unless you're a collector of real estate or Port of Long Beach stuff, because most of the items in the box were scraps of paper relating to the first of the buildings to be erected at the complex and its plaza, along with a smattering of photos and pamphlets that probably weren't interesting half a century ago, and they haven't got more compelling while sitting in a box for 50 years.
I don't imagine.
The box featured a lot of things I have in my garage. Souvenirs and miscellaneous trinkets. If I was better organized, I might have thrown them out by now, because they don't exactly spark joy in me.
I like this guy's attitude.
This whole thing was a waste of everyone's time.
Uh-huh.
There was a lot of speechifying in advance of the box opening, which was almost as exciting as the main event. The highlight for me was a brief conversation with Brett Bixby, whose forebears once owned most of the land in Long Beach. He attended and assisted the burial of the box in 1972 when he was 4 years old, along with his little brother Grant, who was also in attendance. He was one. And his older brother, the late Mark Bixby, who was six. He said he didn't remember much about that day, but it seemed pretty cool. It's funny how you sometimes remember things as being cooler than they actually were. Just keep taking shots
at everything.
At this horrible time capsule you had to go to, bro. There have been worse time capsules. For example, this story from Derry, New Hampshire, when they opened up a time capsule and found this was a time capsule that was buried way back in the year 1969, dudes. They opened this time capsule
69, dudes!
And yeah, it was a bit of a letdown.
When the Derry Library Director started 5 years ago, the town's time capsule, which was sealed in 1969, sat safely on this shelf in the library.
Nobody touched it until last spring.
On the 50th anniversary, the director, Kara Potter, opened it with the help of town staff.
I was considering running a library program around opening it, and so I wanted to open it to make sure we could actually physically do that.
The combination for the safe was conveniently posted on the back of the capsule.
It took us several tries to get it open because we had the combination and it's an older safe. So by the time we actually got it open, there were a number of staff people standing around watching.
And to everyone's surprise, it was empty.
We were a little horrified to find that there was nothing in it.
Derry historians and town officials were notified. Turns out no one holds a list of what was originally put inside. The capsule was supposed to be displayed at the Old Home Day celebration in Londonderry this past weekend. Potter was told that the time capsule was kept at the old municipal building here in town, and when that was torn down, it was brought here to the library where it's been kept ever since. Officials say they have no idea who could have opened it and taken the items inside.
The better story is, there was one guy whose job was to get this time capsule together.
Yeah.
And he just claimed he put a bunch of stuff in there.
Yeah.
I buried it. By the time they open it, it'll be someone else's problem.
I buried it. Or someone did go through it. Give me that. Give me that. I'll take that.
Tucson, Arizona, 1961, at the Campbell Plaza Shopping Center, the first air-conditioned strip mall in the United States of America.
Huh.
They opened their grand opening, and to make the event really memorable, developers buried a time capsule beneath the mall, forbidding anyone from opening it for an achingly long time period of 25 years. So that's 1961. 1986 comes around,
yep,
and people are so excited. We're going to get to open the time capsule.
All the way back 25 years.
Three television crews captured the moment when the workers, accompanied by a former mayor of Tucson, excavated the capsule and cracked it open. They had an archaeologist on hand. The contents were a faded local...
An archaeologist is going to get involved with something that was buried 25 years ago? What kind of archaeologist are you? Archaeologist for hire?
I'm fascinated to see what might have been buried when I was around and a much younger man. What could be in there?
What could it possibly be?
He reported the contents as a faded local newspaper in worse condition, he says, than many I've witnessed being excavated from the bowels of landfills. And there were a handful of business cards. That was it. That was your time capsule.
Yeah, not always the best.
In 1947, the Westport Elementary School in Missouri buried a time capsule with instructions that it was not to be opened for another 50 years.
All right, at least you're giving us 50 years.
The superintendent of the school left a note detailing the fact that, you know, in 1947, we buried a time capsule. He forgot to include any information about where they buried the time capsule. And when it came time to retrieve it, no one knew where to start
digging. Well, maybe that's what happened with my time capsule.
They buried it. They just no idea where it is. I don't know. We know that there's somewhere there is one here. We just don't know where it is.
And I tend to remember our time capsule was just... Do you remember just the little cardboard... Your little school box?
Yeah, yeah.
That you would keep your things in?
Uh-huh.
I think that's all it was. So how that would have lasted, I don't know. Probably not the best.
In 1995, a 100-year-old time capsule thought to contain historical documents was opened by hopeful scholars down in New Zealand. When they opened it up, it was full of muddy water and a single button.
Take that.
Here you go. We want people of the future to know about this button. Feel very strongly about it. I don't know. I think by the time I'm 2022, I imagine I'll have already met Michael Jordan, and I'll be driving around on my Harley, I guess.
With Michael Jordan.
Let's get caught up on local headlines from WQAD News 8.
And the news is brought to you by Premier Jewelry. Was he even playing 20 years ago?
No, he'd retired again by then, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He hadn't been playing for some time. 2002?
He wasn't with the Wizards then, was he?
No. I mean, his last year with the Bulls was 98, right?
Yeah, but then he came back and played... I mean, he retired and then came back again.
I think he was completely done by then.
He played with the Wizards from 2001 to 2003. He would have been would have been his last year with the Wizards.
Very forgettable.
Yeah. Well, but keep in mind, okay.
Regrettable.
But 20 years ago, she would have probably been somebody that was watching Space Jam on the VHS.
You did have that.
Number four.
Got a scam alert for you here, Darren.
Yeah?
Please don't fall for this one. A woman is saying that she got scammed by a Russian astronaut. Police investigating whether...
Got scammed by who?
A Russian astronaut.
While he was working?
Well, that's what the claim was. It seemed so believable at the time. This Russian astronaut.
Uh-huh.
Again, a Dave and Darren scam alert. Police investigating whether a woman in central Japan was scammed into sending 4.4 million yen to a person claiming to be a Russian astronaut working at the International Space Station and needing money to return to Earth so he could marry her.
I like that.
I'm not even mad. That's a good scam.
How do you get mad at a scam like that?
A 65-year-old woman.
They're going to leave me up here.
4.4 million yen, by the way, is about $30,000. The 65-year-old woman became acquainted with the person on a social networking site in June before they communicated through a messaging app. This person repeatedly told her they loved her and proposed marriage. The suspect then asked...
The only sticking point is...
I'm in outer space. I can't get out of here.
I can't.
I would love to come down there and marry you.
That'd be great. I'd do it in 2 seconds. If I could just, gosh darn it, get back on Earth.
How do I get out of this crazy space? Hello? I'm trapped on the space station. I want to come down there and marry you. Can you help me out, please?
I miss the Earth so much.
I miss my soon-to-be wife.
I miss who could be my wife.
The suspect asked the woman for money. He needed money for expenses for a rocket, and he also needed money for the landing fees on planet Earth.
Those lyrics always sounded to me like, I miss the Earth so much, I even miss my wife.
The woman accepted the request and transferred money to a bank account to this person
in
August and September.
There you go.
But as the person continued to ask her for money, she thought it'd be a good idea to ask the cops if this was on the up and up.
What do you think? What, you didn't have to...
I don't know, lady.
You didn't even have to get the cops involved. Go ask a neighbor. Ask somebody just on the street.
I don't know.
Go ask a child. Well, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, he just needs money for the land, you know, the rocket and the landing fees that you have to pay when you come from the space
station.
They
don't provide that, huh? Okay.
It's just, I need money for the landing fees. And then I'm going to come down there and I'm going to marry you so good. Just, keep sending money. I'm up here in outer space. I can't get off this crazy thing.
God.
Five.
Number five.
Gang of turkeys attack a man, breaking both of his hips. That's not good.
What happened?
A gang of turkeys.
Uh-huh.
Seriously attacked a man. He was attacked first by a rooster and then a gang of turkeys.
Yeah. And this is...
And they broke his hips.
This is how it ends.
Can you imagine? No thanks. No thanks. They broke both of his hips.
I never envisioned this.
And a finger, apparently.
Breaking your hip? That's serious.
It's not great. The man was... This is up in Canada, I guess. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police asked to check on the well-being of someone at their home. Upon arrival, they found a man who'd been attacked by angry birds. Not the delightful video game. Actual, honest-to-God, angry birds. Injuries included 2 broken hips, a broken finger... and multiple lacerations. No thanks.
Probably wants nothing to do with Thanksgiving this year.
You know, it's interesting.
I can't do Thanksgiving. And that was my favorite holiday. And now it's all ruined because of this.
Thanksgiving would have been yesterday for them.
Oh, in Canada, sure.
Yeah. I wonder, do they eat turkey for Thanksgiving up there? They probably do, right?
Something close to it.
What's Canadian Thanksgiving like? I know they watch...
Okay, so they must have a set day for it.
Yeah.
It doesn't move around.
Thanks.
If you're going to be doing Thanksgiving on a Monday? What?
Thanksgiving is... It does move around, actually. It's always the second Monday in October.
Monday?
Yeah, you make it a 3-day weekend, I guess. Thanksgiving is a holiday in most of Canada, although it's an optional holiday on Prince Edward Island, Newfoundland, Labrador, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick. Why would you opt out of a Thanksgiving?
And turkey's the main dish? Top entree? What do they got? Geese up there?
It's different than American Thanksgiving. I guess it's not a big deal the closer you are to the Atlantic Ocean, they don't take it so seriously.
Are there CFL games that they play?
Yeah, they were playing yesterday afternoon.
Were they?
Yeah. Canadian Thanksgiving food is similar to the United States. Turkey is usually eaten for Thanksgiving in Canada.
Okay.
Although some choose to eat ham, chicken, or other proteins.
Well, it's probably same here.
Turkey is usually accompanied by stuffing, sweet potatoes, corn gravy, and fall vegetables like squash. The standard dessert for Canadian Thanksgiving is pumpkin pie. Canadian Football League hosts the Thanksgiving Day Classic. It's a doubleheader that airs on their national TV.
Right on.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's not a big shopping holiday. Well, it's not as close to Christmas. Big day for hiking and long strolls through the Canadian countryside.
Sure, after that big dinner.
That's great, unless, you know, there's an angry turkey looking to break your hips. Hey, will you check on our friend? We haven't heard from him in a while.
Oh, happy to do it.
That's how I assume all the Mounties sound. A lot of my worldview is informed by cartoons.
And a long time ago.
From 60 years ago. So yeah, they absolutely do eat turkey. But they don't get as many days off of work because it's a Monday, right? We get the Thursday and the Friday and then the weekend. Canadian Thanksgiving may have started before American Thanksgiving, but they exist for different reasons. Canadian Thanksgiving is about the harvest, which starts earlier in Canada than it does here in the United States. You know, on account of how they're north.
It's true.
Formalized as a national holiday in 1879, but they started actually doing it in 1859. So, I guess, but they don't have, like, today's not Black Tuesday up there, and they don't do parades. I saw pumpkin pies out the other day when I was at Costco, and
Big ones?
Yeah, oh, they're great, too.
Like the size of a tire?
Yeah, no, they're fantastic, and I didn't pull the trigger, and I regret that now.
Because you could have went home after the show and just had some pumpkin pie.
Just sat there and ate a pumpkin pie by myself? I guess
you can pretend you're Mel Kiper.
They're saying
doesn't he have a piece of pumpkin pie every day?
Does he really?
Weirdo.
He is a weirdo. It says here, despite the fact that Canadian Thanksgiving falls on Monday, families choose to have their Thanksgiving dinner on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday.
Gotcha.
Sunday and Monday are the most common, though. But I could see doing it on Sunday, and then you just lay around the next day and watch Canadian football. That makes sense. It's not as big a deal up there.
They got some big end zones up there.
I wonder if this guy with the broken hips was eating turkey. I'd eat the hell out of turkey if a turkey broke both my hips.
Yeah, revenge.
Right? This time it's personal. We got to take a quick break. We're right back with more of Dave and Darren. Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you do it.
How dare you?
Now
you're so pretty when you're faithful to us.
Gigi.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That was Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast.
There she blows.
Thanks. Thanks for listening, downloading, subscribing, all the things that you do for the podcast. It's very much appreciated. We'll have another one for you real soon.
Do as I do and make me proud.
Until we get a chance to do another one of these for you. Hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Bye-bye.
This isn't over until I say it's over!
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over! Nothing! You just don't turn it off!
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.